All right, this evening we invite you once again back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And tonight we're going to begin reading with that of verse number 19. And we'll just read the three verses that we've been focusing in on today. Beginning with verse number 19. Peter writes, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word once again this day. This afternoon, I want to continue on with that of our study here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we will be bringing the chapter to a conclusion as we look at that of the last two verses here. This morning we dealt with verse number 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Peter told us we have a sure word of prophecy. He was speaking of the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the reliability of the Scriptures, that they're sure, that they're words which we can stand upon and depend upon. And that we do well that we take heed. He encouraged us to take heed to them. And He told us to do it as a light shineth in a dark place. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," David spoke, speaking of that of the word of God. And then he closed there in verse 19 with, "until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." He told us how long until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes for us. Whether it be that we go home to be with the Lord or that Jesus comes for us. Now, tonight, or this afternoon, we come to verses 20 and 21. Peter writes, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The topic is the same. The topic that we had in verse number 19, the more sure word of prophecy. Peter is still dealing with that of this topic. And he is going in these verses to tell us some additional thoughts or ideas with regards to that of this sure word of prophecy. He's going to tell us that of the source of it. He's going to tell us that of the source. Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, wrote, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, when the Apostle Paul penned those words to Timothy, no doubt, it's without doubt, that they had that of the Holy Scriptures as we know them, as far as that of the Old Testament. And as I pointed out this morning, not only did they have the Old Testament Scriptures, but they had even some of the New Testament writings. Peter, he makes a mission of this with regards to that of the Apostle Paul in that of the third chapter of this second epistle of Peter. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. It is that of the very breath of God is what the Apostle Paul said with regards to the Scriptures, or that of the writings. The writings. Now, is this true? How do we know this is true? Isn't, as someone said, the Bible is just a collection of books? And you can interpret them any way that you want to and come up with all kinds of different interpretations? I would like for us to consider the following points. Paul, or Peter, as he writes to this dear saints, he says, know this first. Know this first. And then, secondly, he tells us, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Thirdly, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. First of all, let's consider that of the first point. Know this first. In verse 20, Peter wrote, knowing this first. The word first has the meaning of firstly, or before anything else. Before anything else, know this. Peter wants that of his readers to understand that this is something that ought to be priority, first place. And what is he speaking of here? Well, we've already commented that the topic is still that of the sure word of prophecy. But as you note, as it goes on there in verse 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, what Peter here is doing is he is emphasizing that of the importance of that of the statement that he makes then afterwards. He says, know this first, or this ought to be first above everything else. That. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, I want to give you several translations of this. The RSV translates this, first of all, you must understand this. You must understand this. The Net Bible translates it, above all, you do well if you recognize this. Above all, you do well if you recognize this. Now, the word knowing means to know or to have knowledge about someone or something. As we look at that of the different translations, the RSV translates, first of all, you must understand this. For that of the word know, knowing this, they translate it understand. This is a demonstrative pronoun, and so a demonstrative pronoun, it points at something, and as we've already noted here, that it points to that of the next statement here. And it has to do with that of the word of prophecy. Now, he says, knowing that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, there are some words here in this statement that are very important that we understand that of their meaning and with regards to what they are referring to. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture. Now, we I believe this morning took you over to Romans chapter 16, and it was there that we had that of the prophecy of scriptures, if I remember right, if that's the way that it's worded there. I believe it is. My memory serves me right. Romans chapter 16, verse 26, he says, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets." It's a little bit different. Here we have prophecy of the scriptures. Either way, what Peter is referring to is the same thing as that of the more sure word of prophecy back up in verse 19. But what I want to draw your attention to most of all here in that of the phrase here, that no prophecy of Scripture, is that little word no. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Actually, in the Greek, that little word no actually means all, or has the idea of all, and every part. Every part. And so what Peter here is saying is, with regards to that of the prophecy of the scriptures, that he's not just speaking of that of this here and not this part of the writings, but he's speaking of it, of all of it. He's speaking of all of it. All of the word of prophecy. All of that of the prophecy of the scripture. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, Peter has emphasized the importance of what he's saying here by that of the first few words, knowing this first. And it is important, because when we come to that of the Word of God, beloved, that of understanding the Word of God, understanding that of what is indeed that of the Word of God, we need to have that of clear understanding of it. We need to have that of a clear understanding. And if it's not divided up properly, it can bring that of great damage, great harm. When Peter here speaks of interpretation, that word would most likely bring to your mind that of explanation, so to speak, or that of the untangling of that of the scriptures, that of setting them forth, so to speak, where one might understand. Now, Roman Catholics believe that only the church is able to interpret. That only the church is able to interpret. And as far as they're concerned, there's no reason for that of the ones who would be considered not part of that of the clergy, so to speak, for them to even read the scriptures. Because they can't interpret them. Only the church can. Let me say to you, first of all, that is false. That is false. That is not true. Men and women, by the help of the Spirit of God, may interpret the Scriptures. We can interpret the Scriptures. You can interpret the Scriptures. You can read them and understand them. You can explain them yourself with that of the help of that of the Spirit of God. But the phrase here, there is considerable commentary on this. That of knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Another way that this phrase, no private interpretation, or this phrase private interpretation, is translated in the King James Version, the New King James Version, and the American Standard Version. It's translated of any private interpretation. In the NRSV and the RSV, it's translated is a matter of one's own interpretation. In that of the NIV, it's come about by the prophet's own interpretation. In that of the NET Bible, it comes about by the prophet's own interpretation. So basically, there's two thoughts on this, and that is that of individuals interpreting, as far as the translations go, and then that of the prophet being the one who is involved in that of the interpretation here. Now, of course, the question arises, is this a personal interpretation, or is it the prophet's interpretation? Well, before we go any further, let me just say to you that the idea that is most likely amongst that of Christendom is that this verse teaches that the interpretation here has to do with that of one's personal interpretation. But in reality, this is not even what Peter is speaking of here. This is not what Peter is speaking of. He's not speaking of that of you and me sitting down and reading the scriptures and interpreting it. We would say to you that with regards to that of interpretation of the scriptures or that of the explanation of the scriptures, whatever scripture that you're considering, there is only one interpretation. There's only one interpretation. But that is the correct interpretation. There's not many interpretations of that of a passage. There's only one. And only by the grace, by the help of the Holy Spirit, God revealing it to us, we may understand that one interpretation. But the point that I want to set before you here and that you understand and are clear on is that this is not what Peter is dealing with here. You say, Brother Steve, you got me confused. Hold on to your chair. Look at verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Beloved, the interpretation of that of what Peter here tells us in verse number 20, what he's declaring, the interpretation of it is found right there below it in that of verse 21. Peter here is dealing with that of the actual source of prophecy. That of the source of the scriptures. He's speaking of that of the scriptures and he is telling us, beloved, that indeed it is not. Not any of it is of one's own personal interpretation. That is the prophet. The prophet didn't just write down just anything. When the scriptures were given by that of the means of that of the prophets, beloved, it wasn't that they just wrote down what they wanted to write. For you see, Peter goes on to tell us in verse 21, first of all, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That is, the prophecy of the scriptures. He says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. He's telling us, beloved, that of the fact that the prophecy didn't come by that of will of man's will, his determination. The connecting link here is that little word for. Peter explains, because this is an explanatory conjunction here in verse number 21. He is explaining that of what he stated back up in verse 20. And what is this? He's saying, know this first, or know this first of all, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation or one's own interpretation, one's own untangling, so to speak, is what the word means, or that of the explanation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but, he says, and beloved, this but is a big but. It is a but of contrast. He says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. How did the prophecy of the Scriptures come? How did they come to us? He says it was not by the will of man. It wasn't that of man's doing. No, he says, holy men of God, men set apart, godly men, he tells us here, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, there's something here that I want to point out to you here, is that some people, they take that of what Peter states here, and they say that the manner in which the Holy Scriptures came to us was like that of dictation. That these men, that they were receiving that of dictation as far as the Scriptures, that they were told like that of a dictator what to write down. Peter here tells us that God used holy men of God to speak. And in saying this, beloved, he's telling us that God used men with that of their talents, with that of their backgrounds, and they were all different. For example, let's take that of Peter. Peter, his background was that of a fisherman. He was one that was impulsive. Always going before the Lord, it seemed like, upon many occasions. And then we have that of the Apostle John, whom the Scriptures tells us that he was the one that was very special to the Lord. John was that of a fisherman also. But there was a difference between that of Peter and John, wasn't there? Take the Apostle Paul and that of his background, that of his training. Beloved, between that of Peter and that of Paul, there was a great amount of difference between that of their backgrounds. God took various men, holy men, men set apart by God. They were godly men, and they spoke. They spoke we're told here. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Beloved, the key words here is moved and by the Holy Spirit. The word moved here has that of an ideal of that of being carried along, like that of a sailboat in that of the water, and the wind blows and it carries that of the sailboat along in that of the water. That's the ideal that is set here before us with regards to how that these men spoke. They were carried along. They were brought along, and it was by that of the Holy Spirit of God to set forth that of the Scriptures. In other words, what Peter here is telling us is that the word of prophecy, the Holy Scriptures, beloved, they are directly from God Himself through that of the means of men that were brought along and carried along to speak those very words. So coming back to that of our question where Paul wrote, all Scripture is given by that of inspiration. All Scripture is God breathed. Is this true? Well, Paul tells us that there in that of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then we have now that of Peter telling us the very same thing in actuality. He's telling us that God, He moved upon holy men, carrying them along, whereby they spoke that of the Word of God. Beloved, Peter in this section told us, we have a sure word of prophecy, and we do have a sure word of prophecy. And the source is from heaven above. This book, beloved, is the Word of God. Now, I realize that there's various translations, beloved. We're not going to enter into that area tonight. Beloved, we have that of the very Word of God. Every part of it is the Word of God. Not just the book of Psalms, not just that of the New Testament, but beloved, the Old Testament and the New. It's all the Word of God. And as Peter told us back up there in verse 19, we do well to take heed to it. We do well that we take heed to it. Not just parts of it, all of it. All right. Let us stand and let's have a closing hymn.
We'll sing Amazing Grace, just the first one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Beloved, we can stand upon that of the Word of God. We can stand upon promises, knowing that they're true. That they are true. Every word of the Bible is true. Tomorrow, let Don give us the closing word.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again we praise you for Holy Scripture, for this sure word of prophecy, when we know that this is your own self-revelation. And, Father, we praise you for this. Lord, truly it is a light, Lord, to our path and a lamp to our feet. Lord, may we take heed and be careful to search the Scripture, Lord, to feed upon it, Lord, to grow through its agency by the power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we just praise you for these wonderful gifts, Lord, that you have showered upon us, Lord, benefits and blessings in your rule. Lord, thank you. Father, we do depend upon thee moment by moment. Lord, and we pray that you would work mightily in each of us, both to will and do, like good pleasure. Father, do help us to grow in grace. Help us to increase in knowledge. Lord, may your grace be extended to each of us here richly. Lord, do help us to be faithful. Lord, may we watch for the coming of thy dear Son. Help us to be patient in this interim. Lord, use us, we pray, for your honor and glory. Lord, do forgive us for our many failings, for our sins, our iniquities. We pray that you would cleanse us with the blood of thy only begotten Son. And then, Father, we pray that you would fill us with thy Holy Spirit. May the image of Christ be impressed more clearly upon each of us, that others will see his life manifested in our lives. Lord, we do pray that you bless us and guide us now throughout this coming week, direct our path. Lord, we look to thee and we have your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.